Sir,
it will be gardening, something that we talk about each month on the program. We have been doing that for a long time now with Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. She stops by, and we do this on the second Tuesday. She knows. I'm not so sure.
One of us knows.
Second Tuesday, and we do that to give people a chance to call in and ask questions about things that grow in the home landscape, and it's always a lot of fun when she is here. Also, in this first hour, we will have a special guest, a man who is quite well known as a garden expert, an author, a photographer. His name is Ken Drews. Now, he's joining us this morning by phone, but he will be here in Champaign-Urbana in the early part of March, and we'll talk more about that and take whatever questions people have about plants and taking care of them. Also, we just want to mention that in the second part of the program, Rich Warren will be here. It's been a while since we have talked with Rich. He's a contributor to the Chicago Tribune. He writes a column for the News Gazette, other publications that have to do with audio and video, and that's what he does primarily. He writes about consumer audio and video, and we'll be here to take whatever questions people have. That'll be in hour number two.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway piano showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Warden Martin Subaru, a Subaru Stellar Performer certified dealership, now in their new location in front of the Savoy 16 Theater, across from Warden Martin Nissan. Information on the web at wardenmartin.subaru.com.
Well, once again, welcome to Focus 580. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back on the program Sandy Mason from Cooperative Extension, or I guess they don't call it that anymore, just Extension.
University of Illinois.
They're uncooperative. No,
yeah, come
they're
on.
Very cooperative from Extension. She's here, and she's good enough, in addition to everything else she does, to stop by here once a month and answer questions on this program. So whatever's on your mind, if it has to do with trees, shrubs, flowering plants, stuff you can eat, houseplants, any and all of that. It's the same thing that we always do. But we do also this morning have a special guest, and his name is Ken Drews. And as I mentioned, he's an author, has written several books, including The Natural Garden, The Natural Shade Garden, and a new one that's just out, which is titled The Passion for Gardening, Inspiration for a Lifetime. He's written the text. He also has also taken photographs, and he's quite well known for writing about gardening issues, and he's joining us by telephone, but he will be in Champaign-Urbana March 5th, and we'll tell you all about that in just a moment. Questions welcome, 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And I say to Sandy Mason, hi, thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you.
And Ken Drews, hello.
Hello, David, hello, Sandy.
Hi.
Glad you could be with us. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you. The
book is beautiful. It's just beautiful. And I want to make sure that I'm clear here. Sandy and I were talking back and forth. You did take the pictures for the book, is that right?
Yes, I did. All the pictures.
All right. And it is really beautiful. As we go along here, I'm sure that we'll be able to talk a little bit about the book. We'll talk about the fact that he will be here.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we also go ahead and talk with, just to make it even more confusing, we'll bring in the people who are listening. And let me give the number in Champaign-Urbana, if you would like to call, 333-9455. Okay? Same as always. We do also have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455. So questions are certainly welcome. The first up is someone who is listening this morning in Lafayette, Indiana. Line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
How do I remove or at least control moss running amok in various places of the yard on the small stone that I have around trees and on the sidewalk and on the board fence?
Well, I think I might have a feeling what Ken might say.
I think you're right, Sandy.
Let me guess.
Because there was one of the gardens.
Leave it alone? Yeah, okay. Well,
or sell it to your neighbors.
Yeah. You know, actually, and it is one of those things. It is really quite beautiful. I think there isn't anything quite so green, I think, as moss.
But my redwood is green wood.
Your redwood is green wood?
Your redwood mulch?
What?
Your redwood is green wood. What do you mean? Your redwood deck?
It's green with moss.
Ah, so that's actually algae. If it's on the ground in an acidic place in the shade where it's very moist, where you want to grow grass, then that's probably moss. If you've got green on on the building or on a deck, then it's probably algae. Mm-hmm. And usually people use a power washer to get rid of that once a year, or you can use a mild solution of bleach. So that's like algae that grows in any wet place, but it's actually not moss.
Mm.
But just wash it down with bleach, and you'll have to repeat it once a year.
Well, there are places where the you can't use bleach because of what it'll kill underneath.
Well, if you use a mild solution, it would probably work. Power washing will work, too. This time of year, I think if you used a mild solution of bleach and water, maybe 30% bleach to water, then in control of the dripping, maybe put a tarp down. Most things are dormant. They're not going to be damaged by that too much.
Okay.
But it's washing is what I would say if it's on the surface, on a hard, vertical surface. What do you think, Sandy?
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea. And usually if you are concerned about the runoff, if you can just add a little extra water in those areas just to sort of help dilute a little bit more. But I really don't think you're going to have a big problem with that this time of year. But that's really your best bet. So we'll leave the moss alone and kill off the algae.
Well, second question has to do, would I have some fair chance of success if I put out grass seed at this season?
Well, normally we'd wait until April or so around here. And I know sometimes you used to read, well, they said, you know, plant the grass seed on the last snow or something. And and that was probably a good idea maybe back when people used wheat as for their lawn, and that actually probably worked out just fine. But really, when we're talking about Kentucky bluegrass, perennial ryegrass, it really germinates much better under warmer conditions. And once you put it out there in the wintertime, it's subject to all kinds of things from freezing to birds eating it to whatever. I think you're better off in the long run just waiting.
Well, I was hoping I could and thereby avoid extensive tilling and chopping because of frost heaving.
Oh, I see what you're trying. You may be in certain areas, maybe you don't really have to do a lot of tilling, depending on what the soil already looks like. If it's halfway decent soil, you may find you really don't have to do a lot of that and just basically just work in the seed in the top inch or so.
It's our native clay and it needs tilling. Okay.
Well, that would be my suggestion, is to wait. I think you're going to get more bang for your buck by waiting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's continue, and our next caller would be back here in Champaign, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I had some lawn questions. I put a lawn in last fall, and we had that drought, and it sort of came up a little patchy. And I need to do three things. I know I was aerated and fertilized, and I also need to overseed it. And I don't know what order to do these things in.
Well, I guess you kind of have to decide where you are in this whole process. If it really is something that you feel like it needs to be aerated, as in it's really compacted soil, something along those lines, you can certainly do that before you seed, which is fine. You may not really find you have to do that. If you don't have a terribly compacted soil, you may find you can just overseed and then just work it in by with a garden rake or something along those lines. So you kind of have to decide whether that's really an issue for you or not.
Okay, and you don't fertilize. When do you fertilize after you overseed?
Usually you wait till you've mowed it a couple of times, unless it's just a little bit of overseeding. But if you're doing major areas, usually you wait until you've mowed it at least twice.
Okay.
If that grass didn't come up because of the drought only, then just sowing it again in April will work fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, is there a type of grass that tends to be greener when it overwinters than the brown stuff that I see all over the place?
Well, normally your cool season grasses are the ones that are going to be greener. So normally Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass are the ones that tend to stay greener longer. I don't know. I saw something recently. Maybe Ken knows. I saw something recently in the Slick ads. They talked about this Canada Green. I don't know. Do you get that out in, you're in New Jersey?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, and it was when, you know, those Slick ads, which I always worry a little bit about to come in the newspaper. But it was called Canada Green, and it was supposedly stayed green all winter long. And I'm a little concerned about what that is. It never said what it was.
It didn't say AstroTurf, right?
Yeah, that would be the next thing, wouldn't it? So I don't know what that is, and so I don't know whether you're sort of thinking about that, but I'd be really concerned. I'd find out what that is first before I really know whether it's a quality lawn or not.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I guess my question would be, if you find something that really is going to be green in the wintertime, then what's it going to look like in July? Will it tolerate the heat?
A good point.
You got to make. You can't have both.
Yeah, unless you have AstroTurf.
And there are blends, of course. And when I sow a lawn, for example, if I do it in a shady spot, I'll mix three different kinds together and let them duke it out. Whichever grass survives is the one I'm looking at.
Well, let me ask you, because I know one of the questions that we have gotten over and over again from people who are listening is they say, look, I've got this shady spot, mm-hmm. and I want mm-hmm. to put grass there.
Yeah, talk to that first guy with the moss. He's got the answer.
Well, maybe that's the and always, of course, what Sandy says is, well, maybe you might like to consider some ground covers that like shade, because there are certain conditions under which mm-hmm. the grass is just not going to grow because it's not going to get enough sun.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it might even have competition for moisture from roots of local trees, nearby trees. And sometimes I suggest to people that they make container gardens there with hostas and other shade plants, because working on into the roots of a tree is a dangerous thing, and people want to have those ground covers go mm-hmm. right up to the tree, mm-hmm. but it's a beautiful place to sit in the cool shade in the summer and put a bench there, put a couple of containers up on bricks, and have a container garden in the shade.
Mm-hmm. 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 What do you think, Ken, if someone really wants to have something that looks like a lawn, something that's going to be green, maybe they don't mind mowing, that they want to have that sort of green, carpety kind of look, are there other things other than grass, or maybe some mixture of some grass and something else, that if you're not so hung up on it that you want something that's going to look like a putting green, but you want something that's kind of lawn-like?
Well, Sandy may have some ideas about this too, and we were kidding about the moss, but that would be the first choice, mm-hmm. I would say, mm-hmm. if it's a place that, especially the person who had clay soil, it sounded perfect for growing moss and really cultivating moss. There are lots of ground covers, but there's no real living ground cover that can take the use and abuse that mm-hmm. grass lawn can. Mm-hmm. But grass lawn also needs sun. There are some things like carexes and other kinds of grasses that would be able to grow and look a bit green. They sort of look like thinning hair, actually. That's not maybe the look one would want, but there are plenty of ground covers. You just can't exactly mow them.
Yeah. There's a place that my wife and I have gone on vacation now for a long time. It's in Atlantic Canada. And I don't know when it was I discovered this. There was one day I was walking along on what was a large lawn that belongs to the people who own the cottages where we stay. And one day I looked down and I realized it was thyme. And I thought, nice. Whoa, that's really nice. I'd love to have a big field of thyme in front of my house.
With your nose or with your eyes?
I think actually with my eyes. It wasn't that I smelled it. Mm-hmm. I think I finally mm-hmm. just looked at it and realized what it was mm-hmm. and thought, well, now that's extremely cool. Now maybe in Champaign or Urbana,
cool.
that wouldn't work.
It would work, but mm-hmm. not in the shade.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, that's true. It is a big open area and does get full sun, as much full sun as there is.
I had some friends who used a thyme lawn for where they parked their cars. And when they drove up, they'd drive over the thyme, and it smelled fantastic, and they did mow it. But it was, as we said, in brilliant, bright sun.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, this morning here on this part of Focus 580, we have as our guest Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. She's here once a month. On a Tuesday, we talk about gardening. And as our special guest joining us by phone, Ken Drews. He is a nationally known garden expert. He is an author and photographer, has published a number of books, has a new one out, which is titled The Passion for Gardening, An Inspiration for a Lifetime. Potter is the publisher, Clarkson Potter, and it is a really beautiful book. And I just want to mention here, because as of this morning, we are going to be asking people to send money to the station. We have as a special gift, if you call and you make a contribution this morning during Focus between 10 and noon, if you will make a pledge at the $100 level or above, you may request as your thank you gift a copy of this book, Passion for Gardening. And if you are a gardener, I guarantee you will enjoy it. If nothing else, in the dark of winter in January, you will pull this book down and you will page through it and you will sigh wistfully and you will think of spring, and believe me, you'll feel better. Let's talk with some other people here. In fact, we've got the lines full. Let's go next to Piatt County, line number two.
Good morning.
Hello. Yes.
I also have shade, and I don't really care about grass or ground cover, but with this time of year, I was thinking along the lines of a small evergreen bush. And I don't mean, the perfectly clipped, sheared evergreen bush at all. I'm not looking for that, but is there an evergreen that can take shade? It's an overhang area, and it's not dry necessarily, but it's certainly shady.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by evergreen. If you mean needled evergreens, we probably don't have a whole lot of those. Canadian hemlock will take some shade, but it tends to open up a little bit. It's not quite as thick. Plus, and you could shear it. It'll get bigger, but you could actually trim it down. Yews will take some shade, but they're another one of those that sort of opens up. And you may want to think about even things like rhododendrons, boxwood. They will take some shade. So those might be some options. Maybe Ken has some other suggestions.
I've had awfully good luck with boxwood and shade, mm-hmm. surprisingly, mm-hmm. Especially low ones that if it opens up, it doesn't matter. The mm-hmm. ones that you can mm-hmm. either keep clipped
yeah.
occasionally. Or there's the rhododendrons is a perfect example if you have enough acidity in the soil. There's cherry laurel, which is marginally hardy for you, but that's a beautiful prunus, which is a cherry relative, and it's mm-hmm. evergreen, and it gets little white spires in the summer that are very fragrant.
Oh.
Also, Sarcoxa. Do you have Sarcoxa out there?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing any out here, so I'm not sure.
It's red berries, too. It's not
yeah.
very common.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those are some great suggestions. Mm-hmm. You know, if we said something kind of general, you were talking about the needled evergreens. The larger the leaf, the more light that plant's going to absorb.
Okay.
So you can kind of go to the garden center and pick which plant's going to be tolerant mm-hmm. of shade by the size of that leaf.
Okay. And one more question. I notice all of a sudden, boom, I see my bulbs I planted in the fall are pushing their green leaves out. Is that going to be bad? Because I know it's going to get colder.
Yeah,
no, they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too this past weekend. Mine were starting to push out, but they'll be fine. It's
okay.
Just the flower itself is still deep inside the bulb. So it's really not a big issue for them.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
We have all these questions about shade, and even though it sounds self-promoting, I did do a book on shade called The Natural Shade Garden.
Which is very nice. Gives people all kinds of ideas for shade gardening.
It's my most popular book. It's from 1992 and still a big seller.
Well, as you can tell, we get a lot of questions about shade.
I remember years ago people used to say, I have shade. What can I do? Can I cut down my neighbor's tree?
Oh.
Now they know it's 15 degrees cooler in the shade.
Yeah, you know,
I
live out on the open prairie, and I couldn't wait until I finally got some trees big enough so I could have shade. Because when July and August rolls around, it's a much more pleasant place to hang out and garden.
And wouldn't you love a moss lawn?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love a moss lawn.
Okay. Well, let's go and talk with somebody else here. Champagne, line three. Hello.
Hi. I actually have a very similar question. My husband and I are building a home that's going to be facing north. And so the front yard, there will be sections of it that isn't going to get as much sun as, you know, the backyard. And we're starting to think, you know, what are we going to do landscape-wise? And I wondered if you had any suggestions on shrubbery or trees that, you know, would look nice but would also be able to take the conditions on the north side of the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so as far as trees, we have lots of understory-type trees that take shade. I don't know, do you really have a lot of shade at that point? Or if this is a brand-new house, are there trees there? Or are you just...
No, well, it's a brand-new house in a subdivision. There aren't any trees at all mm-hmm. around our house. We want to plant a couple in the front if we could. But like I said, we want to do something that's going to do well in the front of the house,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's young and smaller and not going to get as much sun as when it, you know, is bigger and taller.
Right.
Now, the north is tough,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're pretty sure it faces quite north, due north.
It does, maybe a bit to the west, maybe a bit northwest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the problem is that depending on how big your overhang is, sometimes it's a real dry shade, which sometimes is a little bit harder on some plants. If it's not going to be a terribly dry shade, there's some nice shrubs that we have that tend to do very well around here, even in some shadier environments, but they do like more moisture. There's something called an itea, and it has a beautiful fall color, nice vivid red fall color, but it does like moist conditions. It's a nice shrub. We also have the summer sweet clethro, which tends to do fairly well around here, and it does have a nice fragrant flower, and again needs a little bit more moisture, so those may be ones that you could use, but you may have to make sure that it's not too terribly dry for them.
Okay.
Yeah, we have there's all kinds of smaller trees that do very well around here. That you could think about is if you want something out front that's a little bit smaller, Certainly, probably one of my favorites around here is the pagoda dogwood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even though it sounds like it's not native, it is native. just a beautiful small tree. There's a the viburnum, that several viburnums that I really like. I'm trying to think of the common name. Oh, it's a blackhall viburnum that does really well around here and looks quite attractive.
I was thinking, too, that it might be the spot for a woodland garden.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that would be nice. You could really sort of set that up. It'd be quite attractive.
Right, with a dogwood in the center, mm-hmm. and then have mm-hmm. some of those spring ephemeral flowers that you enjoy. And then when they go away, just make sure you always look at the back of the house.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We have some other folks, and we will get to them in just a second. Our guest this morning is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. And joining us by phone, Ken Drews, nationally known gardening expert, author, photographer. His newest book is The Passion for Gardening. And some of the others, as we've mentioned, are The Natural Garden and The Natural Shade Garden. And that would be one for all,
like
those,
the last few callers.
All of those people out there who have shade and are looking for some inspiration. For anybody who would like to call in this morning and make a contribution to the station, we'd be happy to provide you with a copy of The Passion for Gardening. We just ask that you call in and make a contribution, and if you can do $100 level or more, with our thanks, we'll send you a copy of the book, and I know that you will enjoy it. The number to call to make a pledge now is 244-9455. Jack Brighton has stepped into the studio,
Hello.
Sometimes heard as host on the show.
Right.
Was longtime producer of the program. Now he is overseeing our web operations, but every once in a while we wrestle him back in here, and he does some Focus 580 shows, too.
And I'm a fan of the show. I listen all the time. I love the show. Especially I love when Sandy Mason is on, because I just love to hear about growing things. It's such a great way to reduce stress. It's much less stressful than raising money, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're about here right now. And we hope that you will help us out, reduce our stress, by giving us a pledge call right now, 217-244-9455. We're talking about growing things in shady environments. Folks, WILL is not a shady environment. There's lots of sunshine around here. We are one of the most open community organizations you'll ever encounter. And we respond to your requests for particular subjects to cover or ideas for things on the show. You know, it's a very, very much an interactive kind of process here. And we it's also paid for in an interactive process. So we're counting on your pledge call right now, 217-244-9455. And speaking of community, Kimberly Cronick, who is our outreach coordinator, is with the volunteers in our Pledge Center. She is in charge, got a lot of things going with regard to community activities and so forth. And I hear a phone ringing back there, Kimberly.
Yes, you do, Jack. That's great, because we are trying to get 15 callers during Focus 580 today, and that could be our first call, and we appreciate that. The number is 244-9455. You know, Jack and Dave and Sandy and Ken and everyone listening out there, you know, radio has the power to change lives. But WILL has the responsibility to change your life for the better. And that's why we offer programs such as gardening programs, where you can get questions answered that impact your life. We bring you information from experts and local people to help you be an informed citizen. And that all makes our democracy, our community, a better place to be. So now is the time for you to participate in the future of WILL by joining an extraordinary group of people known as the Friends of WILL, who actively support the mission of WILL, and that could be you. Help us get to that 300 goal of new members for this drive. We're up to 52, so if you haven't pledged before, now's the chance. Now's your opportunity to become a new member and be part of the Friends of WILL. Please call us now at 244-9455. Just want to remember, you can also pledge online at our website, WILL.uiuc.edu. And if you can make a pledge of $100 or more, we'll thank you by sending you Ken's book, The Passion for Gardening. Those phones are ringing. That's our second call. Go ahead and give us a call. Become a new member of WILL or renew your membership. 244-9455. Thanks
All
a lot.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Kim and Jack, and we will talk to you again near the end of the program. Our guest here this morning, Sandy Mason. She is a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County, and joining us by phone, Ken Drews. He's an author, a garden expert, photographer, and again, his new book is The Passion for Gardening. And I want to ask Sandy here to talk for a minute about the fact that Ken's going to be here in March. How can people get involved in this event?
Well, it's going to be a great day. It's March 5th, which is a Saturday. It's called A Breath of Spring. Isn't that lovely? It'll be held at the Holiday Inn in Urbana, here in Urbana. And there's actually several different folks that are going to come and talk to us besides Ken. Also, Tony Avent, which I think a lot of people know from his catalog, Plant Delights, knows quite a bit about some of the new plants that are out there, and he's going to be talking about those. We have a wonderful person, Carol Reese, who's going to be talking more about landscaping. She's from the University of Tennessee. And then Erica Glasner. I think a lot of people may know her from HGTV, and she's also appeared on Victory Gardens. She's going to be talking about colorful combinations. And so that's Saturday, March 5th. They can give us a call at the Champaign County Extension Office at 217-333-7672. And we'd be glad to send them some information about that.
Okay, very good.
You know, Jack was talking about how gardening reduces stress, and my latest book, The Passion for Gardening, is really about that, how gardening is not about getting the task over as quickly as possible, but how we can get more time to spend in the garden. And it's also about gardeners giving back to the earth, and I think gardeners are in a wonderful position to be able to do that, which makes me think of your pledge drive, because if you're enjoying something like gardening, it's not so bad to give back a little bit, to pay back for some of the pleasure that you get, and you can do that with WIL, too.
We appreciate that. And again, I want to mention, if you can make a contribution at the $100 level or above, with our thanks, we will send you a copy of the book. And it truly is a beautiful book. And I think one of the things that it made me think, Ken, in looking at the book was that, you know, there are people who put plants in the ground, and then there are gardeners. And there is a difference between those two. It's not just about putting the plant in the ground. And I think it's about... It has to do, I think, with your thinking about your relationship to nature. And what comes through for me again and again looking through the book is patience. What you really need to have is patience, because I think real gardeners would tell you of their garden, well, it's never really done. It's a continuing process. It develops over time. It's always... If it's, you know, what everybody is now going for is year-round interest. So you always want something to be going on. So maybe always something will be coming. Something will be fully in its fullness. Something will be in decline. But
I don't think of that as patience, though. I think of that as anticipation.
Oh, well.
Opportunity. For a while, someone was selling pre-chilled bulbs so that you could stick them right in the ground, they'd bloom instantly, and I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to plant my bulbs and stand there and watch them grow. I plant my bulbs, I do something else, I think about the lawn, I'm doing something else, I'm watching that tree. It's patience, too. It's all of these things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think the other thing I really liked about the book was that I think your emphasis on the process rather than, I think we're so into the end product. This is how it's going to look. Yeah. It's going to look like this picture someday.
Easy, instant.
Yeah. And your whole idea of this passion for gardening is, and I think one of your quotes was, it is the gardening that calls me more than the garden. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of us, that's really what it is. That's where we get our joy, is really from the gardening process. So I think we all need to sort of step back, quit thinking about the end product so much, and really think more about what we're getting from it and really what we're giving back, as you said.
Every day.
All right. Well, let's talk with some more folks who are listening. We have someone in Urbana, where we are, next on our line one, right here. Hello.
Hi. Keeping in mind that it's a process and not a product has helped me. And the another quote that I like, and I don't remember who it's from, is that you're not challenging yourself as a gardener unless you kill a few plants.
There you go. And dead plants are called opportunity to plant a new one.
Right.
We turned our front yard into a woods with woodland flowers because it was on the north side of the house, and we weren't going to be using it. We didn't need the grass, and we didn't feel like mowing. And it was definitely an exercise in patience, but it was definitely an exercise in enjoying the process. Because we started out with grass, and we had to get the trees big enough to have a chance to kill the grass. And so we now have a ground cover that's mostly periwinkle throughout the year. And I borrowed from neighbors and friends that I bumped into native woodland plants that they were growing in their yard. And we also have access to some from a family farm in Ohio that has a woodland. And woodland plants take a while to spread, But we now have a gorgeous display of bluebells in the springtime, mm-hmm. and I love to watch, love to go out and look for where the new ones are and see them coming up and watch the leaves change color and see the progression of the native wildflowers. And I don't know whether people realize this, but the ephemerals take advantage of the, I'm sure you know this, but the listeners might not, take advantage of the early spring light before the deciduous trees get
mm-hmm.
their leaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's when they bloom, and that's when they store their get their food to store back in their roots.
Mm-hmm.
And to attract their pollinators, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When our trees were little, it was we didn't realize how fast trees grow in Champaign-Urbana, and they do grow fast. We've been here for 32 years, and we planted, the first year we were here, we planted a 6-foot red oak. I look at that tree now, and I think, I couldn't hardly believe that we planted this tree, and it was so little. And we had some other trees that were pretty little. And we enjoy looking at the leaves when they came out each spring. We'd go out and inspect the branches. And with a small tree, you can see the details of the leaves coming out. We would go for a walk and inspect our estate, we call it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Because I know one of the things that Ken talked about in the book is sometimes people, and I hear people will say that, if you're like in your 50s or something, they'll say, oh, you don't want to plant a little tree.
I'm too old.
I'm too old to plant a little tree. And it's not that way. Somebody along the line planted a little tree so that you can enjoy a big tree now. So it's
not
about
people are really thinking about that. Yeah. There's so many, especially in Illinois, there's a lot of old parks with old
mm-hmm.
trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I never see little trees that are going to mm-hmm. take the place of those trees when those trees do finally go.
Mm-hmm.
We have to plant trees for the next generation and the generation mm-hmm. after that.
And they really grow faster than people realize, I think, sometimes.
Also, I think the small ones often take off. Sometimes you can buy a 6-foot tree from the nursery and buy a 3-foot tree from the nursery, and that 3-foot one will catch up with the big one.
You know, I've heard park district people tell me that too, where they'll plant the really large ones and then they'll plant a small one, and then the small ones always seem to catch up, if not take off, beyond the bigger one.
Well, we could do a whole show on why that is the case.
Probably reduced roots, I would imagine. It's a whole lot to do with that.
It's field grown and mauled and burlapped and reduced roots, exactly.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention I used some creeping thyme on in a garden walkway that gets full sun. And I really enjoyed that, but my only problem is I'm not a great weeder, and things would seed themselves into it, and it would be kind of hard to weed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's lovely to smell. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling.
Well, let's talk with someone in Indiana, Oaktown, Indiana, line 4.
Good morning.
Hello. Yes.
I wonder if you could recommend a control for powdery mildew.
On what?
Cucumbers, cucurbits, bushel gourds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm downwind from literally hundreds and hundreds of acres of melons and cucumber or cantaloupes, and this is windborne, I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to Purdue in Knox County. They have a wonderful place down there with their recommended controls, but I can't afford to buy a $300 jug of stuff.
Mm-hmm,
you know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like to walk into some big box store and, you know, get like a $9 bottle of stuff.
Yeah. Well, when you have the powdery mildew, is it actually killing your crops?
Right. The vines will grow and probably set on fruit, maybe golf ball size, but the plant itself, where it's in the ground, it dies. The mm-hmm. vines have what, suckers or whatever, and they'll live, but where the plant is mm-hmm. planted in the ground, it dies. These guys at Purdue diagnosed this for me, and that's what they told me it was.
That's powdery mildew. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Who should go?
Go ahead, Ken.
Oh, well, it's a long story about moisture in the spring and dryness in the spring and what actually makes those plants susceptible. And it sounds like since you have somebody next door who's sending all their powdery mildew spores to you, your way, I've had some success with baking soda and sun oil,
mm-hmm.
mostly on roses and lilacs. And I haven't tried it on a food crop, but I wouldn't be afraid to because it's a vegetable oil product and baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
And probably if you look online, you might find some recipes and some people who have had success with that. I always start with the least toxic, even if it's a little bit of bleach and water, the least toxic cure or preventative to any kind of problem, which is part of what we call integrated pest management. So those, even that $9 box from the garden center, I'd be a little bit afraid of. And you can also, if you want, my website is kendrews.com, and people can ask me questions there, and I might be able to research that for you.
Mm-hmm. What kind of oil is that?
It's called sun oil. Is that what you call it out there too, Sandy?
Or summer oil, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's not a dormant oil, like a dormant oil spray. It's usually called sun oil or oil sprays, and they're completely organic. And I know with the roses, we use 2 tablespoons of baking soda to, I think, a gallon of water. It's not much baking soda, and a drop of dish soap to make it spread. And we've had good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. And I have seen that actually on cucumbers, pumpkins, using baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a, and I can't think of the name of it, there is a commercial product as well that's baking soda.
Have you guys heard of using that Murphy's oil soap?
Hmm.
I think we're sort of talking about the same thing,
actually.
You know, it's
maybe making your own. I'd be afraid to put anything I wasn't very sure about on an edible product.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is not going to be edible. This is for gourds.
Oh.
They've been dying for like 8 years now. And
have you tried planting them in a different spot?
I've used brand-new pots, cleaned,
mm-hmm.
and brand-new out-of-the-bag stuff, you know, compost, whatever. But the guys at Purdue tell me this is all windborne, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of acres of melon crops just upwind from me. So,
and unfortunately, it's fairly common around here to see that on a lot of those.
I guess I'll try again this spring.
I would try the baking soda product. I've heard really good results on that.
If at first you don't succeed, you're bound to be a gardener.
Okay,
good luck.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are certainly welcome here. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 with Ken Drews. He is a nationally known gardening expert, writer, photographer. His most recent book is titled The Passion for Gardening, and he's going to be here to take part in a program on March 5th here in Champaign-Urbana. And we'll try to mention again near the end of the program the basic information about that. Certainly you can get in touch with the people at Extension if you want to find out more about it. And here in the studio with us is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County and is with us every month on the second Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And we talk about gardening and encourage people to call in if you have questions about things that grow in the landscape. Maybe you've had a problem you're not quite sure how to solve. You're interested in a suggestion about a particular variety of plant or a particular kind of plant for a certain setting. Any and all of that is certainly welcome. Also, we've taken houseplant questions. We can do that too. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And we have some more callers here all lined up. In Urbana, next, line number one. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Last year I didn't do anything in the yard due to other things that were happening, and the creeping Charlie, which I've usually pulled by hand, has gotten totally out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is in the lawn area, and part of it's gotten over to the garden area. What do you do first, second and third, to restore the yard?
Well, maybe I'll let Ken take this one. Maybe he has better ideas than I. We get this question so often.
So
maybe.
Now, creeping Charlie out there, is that what you call
ground ivy?
Ivy.
Yes, ground. Same thing. Same thing.
Not the Lismachia.
No, it's the,
I'm afraid that I hand weed that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few things that I have to, it's one of my worst weeds, mm-hmm. and I get out there and pull it as early as I can in the spring and try to just roll it up and get it out. Now, it's possible, did you have a kind of a rainy season last year?
Yes, there were certain times when it was fairly rainy. I think it did very well.
It did very well. So if you have a little bit more of a normal season with a little bit less water, it may help bring it back a little bit. Of course, you can use, if it's in the lawn, you can use a broadleaf herbicide. I don't do that. I do use a pre-emergent herbicide, which is made out of corn gluten, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
On my lawn, I never feed my lawn. I actually don't even use that pre-emergent on my lawn. I use it in the garden, and it does pretty well. I think if you mow a little bit lower, you might get rid of a lot of it too. But I would go out there and try to get a nice pad for your knees and get out there pretty early, like April, end of April, and roll some of that stuff up. You might just get it back where it was before.
I get this. Well, I mean, I've been done it for years that way. But and when I pull it, essentially, I'm leaving roots behind, though, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless you get a tool, some little spiky tool or a Japanese weed knife is great, and just stick it straight down in there and pull it up. And if you can stop it from blooming and flowering, that will be great.
Yeah,
it probably will.
Yeah, yeah. I think it is probably one of the big things is not to wait too late. When it starts to flower, then boy, you need to get it out of there right away.
Okay,
yeah, that
so then
thing doesn't run as sprint.
You're saying just pull it and then seed.
You mean seed with new grass?
Yeah.
Was that your question?
Yeah, just pull up as much charlie as you can and just go in there with grass seed.
Yeah, but I think the grass will fill in really quickly, especially in the early spring. If you pull it out, if you have some bare spaces, the grass is going to fill right in. And you can also just drop a few seeds in and step on them, and they'll come up too.
Okay, thanks.
Well, good luck.
To Urbana, next, line number two. Hello.
I hear quiet. That must be me.
There, yeah, go caller in Urbana, line two.
Okay.
Yes. We're having some trouble hearing you, and I'm not sure what the problem is.
Is that better?
That's better. Go ahead.
Okay. I have enjoyed the crabapple trees along Windsor Road in Urbana. I have seen pheasants in those trees, and I've seen robins in those trees in the last week. So I've decided I need some crabapple trees.
Mm-hmm.
Any suggestions on varieties?
Wow.
Yeah. Really, wow. Is
wow. Well, you know, we were talking about powdery mildew, and I would say that's the top of the list. First, find mm-hmm. out who doesn't get powdery mildew, mm-hmm. and then start making your selection. If you go to a beautiful garden center or a public garden or a park or anywhere, start to try to discover which varieties are the ones that have flowers that you like. There's literally 1,000
mm-hmm.
probably.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the library and get out Dr. Michael Durr's book on woody plants.
Mm-hmm.
And he has crabapples listed by height, color, tolerance to ones that are resistant to mildew and things like that. So I would really I'd go for the ones that were healthy and disease-resistant and insect-resistant, and then pick the colors. And other than that, what color do you like? You can get almost anything but yellow and blue.
The color isn't actually all that critical.
Single,
it's the
fruit.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You get some wonderful fruit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would look for ones that are... Apple scab is a real problem for us, too, besides mm-hmm. mildew. So I'd make sure that they're apple scab resistant. And there's plenty of them out there. There's actually one that from the University of Illinois called Prairie Fire that's been real popular.
And what kind of shape does that have?
Yeah, it's really more of an oval. It's not one of the wide-spreading ones, yeah. So it kind of depends on what you're looking for. And that's just as Ken was saying there, you name it from sizes to how wide yeah. they get to how tall they get. The size of the fruit, sometimes people really don't like the bigger fruit, so they go for some of the smaller fruit. Those are some of the things you really...
Sargent crab is very popular,
yeah.
and Zuni crab is very mm-hmm. popular. They're both kind of shrubby.
Mm-hmm. I really like Snowdrift is one of them I have. It has kind of a pink bud, opens to a white flower. It has a very small fruit on it that the robins love. So had real good luck with that one, too.
Okay. Sandy, do you know the trees on the approach to Willard Airport as you're going out, they look like an African savanna tree? Are they hawthorns? But, you know,
oh.
they look like they've been chewed on the bottom by giraffes because they're real flat on the bottom. They're very umbrella-shaped.
On the approach to Willard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Ken is flying into Willard. Maybe
I'll take a look. Maybe they've been chewed on the bottom by some other critter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they are, but they have that umbrella shape that's real flat on the bottom. And I've always been tempted to, but I've never stopped to see whether they're hawthorns or whether they're the crab apples. But that's also a good spot for early spring robin.
Fun. Okay, well, hawthorns, I mean, that might be a possibility because they can get kind of a wide-spreading kind of flat.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You probably could ask someone at the airport, too, who does the grounds, if they know.
Well, that's a good idea.
Find out if they do know.
Yeah.
Somebody put those trees in once.
Yes, they did, although it's probably the university in there. But that's a good place to look.
Well, I'll be looking, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the call. We'll try to get at least one more here. There's a listener in Downs on line four. Hello.
Hello. Ken, it's such a thrill to talk to you. I live at the edge of a maple woods, and your natural shade gardening book just has been an inspiration continually. Love that book. I have a different kind of question, however. We have a fledgling farmer's market that is in an area that is just bare right now. One of our committee members has a woods and has transplanted two oaks and a hawthorn. No, anyway, three big trees, had them professionally planted. But on the other side of the market, we need trees that are going to be under a power line. Do you have any idea for, you know, smallish trees?
And this is a sunny location, too?
Yes, very sunny.
Well, I think those crab apples would be perfect. We were just talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Thought about that.
And there are some shrubby ones. We were talking about those, too. That,
well, see, we need something that's going to grow tall enough.
To walk under,
exactly.
Well, I think the crab apples are a great choice. Mm-hmm.
Set up a canopy under and that sort
mm-hmm.
of thing.
And some of those other flowering fruit trees, the almonds and the cherries. And
well, the market starts, I mean, they'll be beautiful anyway, but the market doesn't start until June. So, you know, we're not going to get a lot of benefit from the flowering.
But people driving by will see
yes,
it.
Yes, they will, absolutely.
And it's a way of advertising without blighting the landscape. So, sounds great. Besides, you don't want those trees to attract more than the tomatoes.
Right.
So,
right.
You want that
right.
color.
Absolutely.
And
any
there's
other
fall
ideas?
Color, too.
And it was just the caller was saying, anything else that you'd want to add to the list?
You know, the problem with these questions is how do you pick one out of the thousands that flood your mind? And super hardy and all those things. Sandy, are you thinking of anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as any of the smaller trees, I mean, I love service berries, and they're mm-hmm. native to this area, and they have lovely flowers and fruit later on, and so they seem to do quite well. And they're kind of the same with the crabapple. You can get more upright ones or multi-stemmed ones or more shrubby-looking ones, but those are really very attractive. You know, certainly red buds. I mentioned the pagoda dogwood. That's another nice one. So there's plenty of small trees that we can put under these power lines without having to deal with the size of a tree later on.
The Japanese fringe tree.
Oh, yeah, that
be
would be good.
I mean, I wonder what the budget is on this.
Well,
start with A
hoping,
and stop
yeah,
it.
There you go.
Hoping for donations.
That'll be next.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I think we're just about the point where we're going to have to finish up for this time around with the promise that Sandy will be back next month because she's here once a month. And also, again, our guest, special guest here, Ken Drews, will be here in Champaign-Urbana on March 5th. Mm-hmm. And Sandy, do you want mm-hmm. to just give the basics on that one more time?
Yes, it'll be Saturday, March 5th. There's several folks talking as well as Ken. And it's the Breath of Spring. It's going to be held at the Holiday Inn in Urbana, just right off Interstate 74. If people want information on how to register, they can give us a call at the Champaign County Extension Office at 217-333-7672. You can also go online and actually print out a brochure and send it in to a registration brochure and send that in to us, and that's www.extension.uiuc.edu/Champaign. Okay. So it's going to be a great opportunity. I think people are going to love it. We're also going to have some vendors there. So, you know, gardeners love to shop and look at other things. So not only will you get to hear some great speakers, but you'll get to enjoy some garden shopping.
Okay. And I want to say to you, Ken, thanks very, very much for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate
yeah,
thank
it.
You.
And no matter where you are, you can go down to the bookstore and look for some of the books by our guest. And by the mm-hmm. way, his last name is spelled D-R-U-S-E, Ken Drews. And his books include The Natural Garden, The Natural Shade Garden, Making More Plants, and the most recent, which is The Passion for Gardening, Inspiration for a Lifetime. Well, again, thanks, guys.
Very, thank
very
you.
Much. We appreciate it. Well, we have a minute or two here before we go to our market update to urge you to go to the telephone and dial another number. It's not the one we use for this program, but it's the one that you should use to call in and make a pledge of support to Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, whatever the program is that you value most on this station. It needs your support. It's really important because over the last few years, we have really lost a lot of our tax-based support, particularly on the state level. Something along the lines of, you know, significant amounts of money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last few years. We rely on people who listen to supply about half of the budget for the station. And so now you can see where when that other money declines, the only place that we can go for the help to make sure we have the resources that we need to do the job is to you. You folks out there who are listening, if you're already a supporter of WILL, well, we want to say thanks. Obviously, that's wonderful. But if not, this time around, we're really trying to encourage as many new friends, new supporters as we can, to go to the phone and pick it up and dial the number 244-9455 and call in and make a pledge of financial support to the station. Standing by on Pledge Central, I think, is Kim Cronick, and she is her job really involves outreach, getting us out into the community, getting people who don't work here involved in the radio station, and getting us who spend all of our time here in front of the microphones out and kind of doing other things. We're looking for all of the ways we can to get involved in the community above and beyond the fact that, you know, we're doing the programming.
That's right, David. And we think that kind of outreach and programming, that combination, is something you don't find on commercial radio. And I know listeners appreciate that. We do town halls in the community on issues that impact your life and our lives. We have a thing called the Public Square, where you can submit a commentary on any topic of interest to you and be part of the public debate on issues. No other radio station does that. We know it's worth supporting. So give us a call, 244-9455. I do want to thank some listeners. We had Cheryl from Bloomington called in. Thanks for your pledge. Michael from Charleston, thank you for your pledge. He's a new member. We appreciate that. And Karen from Penfield is a returning member. So we have three people who've become members in the last hour. We need to have 15 by noon, so we're about one-fifth of the way there. We need you to call in. You know, private gifts from our listeners, the Friends of WILL, allow us to fulfill our mission to enrich people's lives, to improve democracy, to give you solid information about the things you care about, whether it's gardening, whether it's health, whether it's foreign policy. All that is found on WILL AM 580. Give us a call. We want to have 300 new members by the end of this break, by the end of this drive. We're up to about 55. And again, we want to hear from 12 more people today by noon to reach that goal. The number is 244-9455. We can take your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express, or perhaps you're sitting at your computer, and it'd be easier just to go to WILL.UIUC.edu and make a pledge. And remember, at the $100 level, and we've had several people who've taken advantage of this offer, you can get Ken's book, The Passion for Gardening. That's for a pledge of $100. So please call us right now with any amount, $100 or more, get you the book, The Passion for Gardening, 244-9455.
David. And it is a beautiful book, Kim. I don't know if you have the chance to take a look at it, but if anyone who is a gardener, I think, would enjoy it, and maybe there is someone who is close to you who is a gardener, it would make a lovely gift, The Passion for Gardening. Ken is, in addition to knowing a lot about plants and things that grow, he's a great photographer, and all of the pictures in the book are his own. So it's a beautiful thing. So in addition to supporting the station, you will get, with our thanks, a copy of this book, and it's really beautiful. So, and that offer is good until noon. So you can keep calling in the next hour as we focus on something else. Rich Warren will be here. We'll be talking about consumer electronics, audio and video, and would encourage people to call in with their questions. Programming here on AM 580 is made possible by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com. Programs also made possible by a grant from Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, a gallery of imaginative jewelry and gifts in downtown Champaign, offering one of kind custom design, gemstone roundtables, and conflict-free diamonds direct from Canada. We're going to take a break. We'll have an update on the markets and news. We'll be back, so stay tuned.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-